I'm Brandi Cruz, and this is Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42, making Washington a place where all can prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. We finally made it. Week 9 of the legislative session in Olympia. We closed the book on the session today, so let's unpack what happened this week. Of course, we want to start with those three Let's Go Washington initiatives that were voted into law, making it through both the House and the Senate.
Having received a constitutional majority, Senate Initiative 2111 is declared passed.
Having received a constitutional majority, House Initiative 2111 is declared passed.
Having received a constitutional majority, Senate Initiative 2081 is declared passed.
Having received a constitutional majority, House Initiative 2081 is declared passed.
Having received a constitutional majority, Senate Initiative 2113 is declared passed.
Having received a constitutional majority, House Initiative 2113 is declared passed.
The three initiatives being passed by the legislature were Initiative 2111, which says no state income tax, trying to reinforce what is already in place in the state constitution. Also, Initiative 2081, which has to do with improving parental rights and parental notification when it comes to what's happening with kids at school. And finally, Initiative 2113 will restore reasonable police pursuits in Washington state. It will give back power to local police jurisdictions to pursue people if they believe it's in the interest of public safety and if the person is suspected of committing a crime. Also this week, a little drama to close the session with House Bill 1589, which has to do with moving Puget Sound Energy away from natural gas. Now, House Bill 1589 did pass at 2 in the morning.
Madam Speaker, there are 50 aye, 45 nay, 2 excused.
Having received a constitutional majority, engrossed subject House Bill 1589, as amended by the Senate, is declared passed.
But that vote didn't come without a little bit of drama. Democrats spent about 9 hours trying to whip up enough support within their caucus to pass 1589. There were even reports that Governor Jay Inslee himself was on the phone with lawmakers trying to convince them. While 1589 began the session as a full-on ban on natural gas, it would have banned new natural gas hookups and home construction. It also would have ended PSE's obligation to serve. Those two aspects of the bill were ultimately removed with amendments. However, Republicans argue that it will still hurt ratepayers, especially the poorest ratepayers, by increasing energy prices and by eventually forcing homeowners to have to move toward electrification.
How long, Madam Speaker, how long will the patience of the people of this state be taxed by these bad policies? How long, Madam Speaker, how long will the working families of the Puget Sound area have to suffer the financial hardship created by proposals like this one?
In fact, before the vote this week, the Washington State Community Action Partnership, which works on behalf of low-income Washingtonians, came out opposed to the bill, saying, "We're supportive of an orderly transition away from natural gas, but it must be equitable for our low-income and named communities. Without sufficient protections in place for ratepayers, we have changed our position on this bill from neutral to opposed in its current form." They went on to say that if the bill passes, which it did ultimately, they would be coming back to the legislature in the very near future with a request for more resources to protect low-income ratepayers. Democrats pushed back against that assertion on the floor before the vote, saying that they believe that this would ultimately help the poor.
It sets our largest utility on a path to look at how we can decarbonize in a way that protects our low-income families.
Also this week, Democrats decided to move forward with a budget line item that will push out $150 million in refunds to ratepayers to help offset some of the costs associated with the Climate Commitment Act. Low and moderate income ratepayers can expect to get $200 checks sometime after September 15th, 2024, so just a few months from now. Republicans have called it a bribery payment, saying Democrats are trying to convince voters not to repeal the Climate Commitment Act via initiative on the November ballot. As we often see at the end of any legislative session, there were a lot of retirement announcements on both the House and Senate side among Democratic and Republican lawmakers. One of them was State Representative J.T. Wilcox, a Republican from Yelm.
My district deserves someone who is idealistic, younger, and full of enthusiasm, and that wasn't me anymore. And you've got to look in the mirror and answer two questions. Am I doing the best possible job for the people that have faith in me? Do I really have the stomach to do this anymore? And the answer to both of those things were no, and I've never looked back from that.
Will Cox will join Undivided's Sundays with Subscribers this week to talk more about his time in Olympia. Meanwhile, to help us wrap up this legislative session, let's check in with our friends at the Center Square. Brett Davis, welcome back.
Thank you. My last appearance in this particular
it is.
Legislative session.
We'll spend the next roughly 10 months deciding whether you did a good enough job to have you back next year.
Do I get a parting gift?
No, not yet. Okay. We got to decide if you did a good job, and then
right.
if we rehire you, then it'd be great.
It was worth a shot. Oh, I'm getting paid for this extra?
No,
nobody
sorry.
Told me.
No, you're not. So you just, assessment of the session, generally speaking.
Well, I'll probably not alone in saying this. I'm happy it's almost over,
yeah.
as I'm sure you are as well. I was actually surprised that they actually got any of the initiatives passed. I didn't think the Democratic majority would go for that, but maybe I'm just being too pessimistic, or maybe I was too pessimistic. I was pleasantly surprised they passed at least three of them.
Yeah, I will say when I started the session, I thought, no way. I really did think that they were going to just sort of ignore them because they seemed so opposed to them.
Right.
But kind of I have to imagine a really great moment for backers of those initiatives to actually watch them be passed into law.
Right. I mean, they put so much hard work into it, gathered so many signatures. So, you know, they're halfway there.
Yeah.
That's not nothing. That's something.
Yeah. And as far as the last week of the session, you know, there was so obviously that happened, which was probably not the favorite thing for Democrats to have to pass
right.
those initiatives in. And then there was this whole debacle with HB 1589, which has to do with PSE and natural gas. I've
right.
never seen anything like it.
I haven't either. I was interested in the nicknames the bill garnered over the course of its run through the legislature. I heard it referred to as, what was it, the gas ban bill, of course, and also the clean energy bill. And Lieutenant Governor Denny Hecht called it a hot mess at one point. So it was quite the rigmarole.
Yeah. I mean, how closely were you following some of the, because I think it was 9 hours that Democrats were trying to whip up enough support in the House to actually make this thing happen. Were you, Brett, on the floor at 2 a.m. watching it pass, right? Yes.
I was not watching it live. I was asleep by then. I think I went to bed about an hour before that. So I usually go to bed around 1 and get up at 8. So
yeah,
I'm still kind of a night owl, but not that much.
Well, apparently you're not dedicated enough to be there at 2 a.m. I really expected
but
better.
There goes my pay.
Yeah. So what are the concerns that Republicans have about that particular bill? It did undergo a lot of changes. You know, it's
right.
not this out and out ban that it was when it
yeah,
started.
They sort of stripped out the outright, you know, we're not going to hook up any more natural gas. But of course, it, you know, the Republicans are saying, you know, it still incentivizes Puget Sound's energy to, you know, move toward an all electric future. And so they think prices are going to go up. I mean, I can think there's also an emergency clause in this that, you know, it goes into effect as soon as it's passed. So that's assuming
basis.
The governor signs it into law. I mean, I'm not sure it's exactly what he wanted from its original form to what it is now.
Well, I imagine he will, because I heard he was on the phone trying to pressure Democrats to
yes.
vote for it in its current
I suspect
form.
You are correct. Yeah. Carlene Johnson, our Capitol reporter, actually heard back from the governor's spokesperson, Mike Falk, today. So she added to her story. He said, oh, nothing untoward was going on. This is just part of the usual deal making and horse trading. Everything's fine. So,
yeah, there is deal making and horse trading in Olympia. That is part of politics. 9 hours of a full pressure campaign. That's a little unusual.
Yeah. 2 a.m. Yep. Man.
Yeah. Brett, any other takeaways from the session before we let you go?
I'm glad it was a short one this year, because next year will be the 105-day session, so that'll be much longer. So,
yeah. And it'll be a new governor at the helm for the first time
right.
in 12 years, which will be interesting to see how much, if at all, that changes politics and business as usual in Olympia.
I was commenting on that very thing in our radio show today. I said, yeah, it's been so long. I can't remember a time when Inslee wasn't governor. So it'll be a new experience when he's not governor.
Yeah, I can barely remember. I think I covered 1 year of Greg Warr's administration, and then that was it. Brett, before we let you go, since folks have been hearing from you every week in the off season, so to speak, of course, Center Square is still covering a lot of political issues and taxpayer concerns. So how can people follow you and follow the work of the Center Square?
You can go to thecentersquare.com, and we're separated by all kinds. We cover every state, so you can go in there, and, you know, there's a nice interactive map. You can click on whichever state you want. I'm assuming most people watching this or listening to this will click on Washington. So
Great.
Appreciate that.
All right. Well, we appreciate your insight and you helping us keep track of the session. Thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you.
I'm Brandi Cruz, and that has been Politics Unpacked for this final week of the legislative session. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42, making Washington a place where all can prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. To support Undivided and our content like this, you can subscribe for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com.